Hello and welcome to an all-new Marvel Cast Explosion, Network's hub of all things Marvel, a place to talk about everything MCU and beyond, from Avengers Defenders to Cyborg and Romulus. I'm Ashley Hobley, your Omega-level host, and joining me today is Ultimate Kiri Marchant.
Hello, it's me here to ruin your day at the museum by making you hear things.
And the astonishing Dylan Blight.
Happy to be here and talk about more than Marvel.
More. Yes, on today's episode, we're talking about more than just X-Men. We're talking about X-Men 2, or X2, or X-Men 2, or X2 United. There's a lot of names. What are we going to call this movie before we get started?
X-Men 2.
X-Men 2 is where I was always at with it.
Okay. I think it was called X-Men 2 here, but in America, was it just X2?
Done.
I don't know. Saving money on font. All right. Please be aware, we'll be freely discussing anything and everything about plot themes and ending of the movie. So if you haven't watched it, come back later. Of course, it is streaming on Disney+. With that said, let's jump to discussion of X-Men 2.
Doesn't it ever wake you in the middle of the night? The feeling that someday they will pass that foolish law and come for you and your children. Take you all away.
It does indeed.
I feel a great swell of pity for the poor soul who comes to that school looking for trouble. What's happened to you?
Don't you remember?
You should have killed me when you had the chance!
I'm gonna kill him, Bobby!
No!
Welcome, Professor.
You haven't told him about his past.
Who is he?
I can't remember.
Sometimes anger can help you survive.
Directed by Bryan Singer, screenplay by Michael Dougherty, Dan Harris, David Hayter, story by Zach Penn, David Hayter, and Bryan Singer, based on X-Men by Stanley and Jack Kirby, starring Patrick Stewart, Hugh Jackman, Ian McKellen, Halle Berry, Famke Janssen, James Marsden, Rebecca Remin-Stamos, Brian Cox, Alan Cumming, Bruce Davison, Sean Ashmore, Aaron Stanford, Kelly Hugh, and Anna Paquin. Stryker, a villainous former army commander, holds the key to Wolverine's past and the future of the X-Men. This threat reignites the call for a Mutant Registration Act. Stryker starts a full-out assault on Professor Xavier's mansion and school. After escaping his plastic cell, Magneto proposes a partnership with Xavier and the X-Men to combat this new formidable enemy they both have in common. Dylan, do you remember the first time you saw X-Men 2?
I don't, actually. I'm going to be honest, I don't.
Okay.
Karen, I remember the first time watching it was at home, but I don't remember anything else.
Karen, do you remember the first time you saw
it? I remember watching it in the cinemas again. Like, it was, I think it was just at the cinemas with family, with my dad, probably. I don't remember it, like, perfectly, but I remember being there for this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I definitely remember seeing the cinemas. For some reason, I believe that I saw an X-Men 2, Too Fast, Too Furious double feature. I went to see both back-to-back.
Whoa, what a fucking two.
Which doesn't make sense, which that's what I think in my mind. Too Fast, Too Furious came out like 2 months later, so I don't think it meant... I'm just getting things mixed up, I think. It could have just been the same. It could have just been the actual same cinema that we went to at two different points, but that's... Yeah. Dylan, what'd you think of X-Men 2 on this rewatch?
On the rewatch, I think it's a huge step up from the first film. I think the villain is much more interesting because it's not, you know, it's more personal, more, related to Logan. I think the dynamic between Magneto and Professor X and the rest of the X-Men, but paired alongside the what they're what the you know this movie pushing a lot more, the whatever they call the act or whatever they're trying to do for the X-Men, the mutant act or whatever, you know, pushing towards this to out themselves, the mutant registration act or whatever the fuck they're talking about. I think all of that paired with the addition of Alan Cumming as Kurt Wagner, Kurt Wagner, or Nightstalker, of course, is probably the standout. Nightcrawler. Then you've got Brian Cox, obviously, as William Stryker, is what makes I think that villain as good as he is in this film. I think the action scenes are a huge improvement over the first one, in particular the way that the movie starts, like that opening scene is still really good to watch, just with the, you know, jumping and disappearing and everything that's happening there is just so good. I mean, overall, I think this is still one of the best X-Men movies.
Karen, what do you think?
This movie is a lot more comfortable being an X-Men movie and being a superhero movie. I think it's more comfortable in knowing who it is as a movie and knowing what it's like, the writers and Bryan Singer, knowing the characters a lot more and being comfortable in the characters. I do think Hugh Jackman takes another step forward in Logan and embodying Logan well. It's interesting watching this off the back of X-Men Origins, because it's like, okay, you're kind of reliving the same kind of story, just from a slightly different angle in Origins. It's good overall. I think there's a lot to like about this. I think everything from costume design's better. Rogue still fucking sucks. But as a whole, I think everything is a step forward. I would agree it is one of the best X-Men movies we've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, Dylan last week compared the first X-Men with the first Spider-Man. I think, you know, both of those series had this massive jump between their first film.
Yeah.
After success, they had the license to do whatever they kind of wanted, go as far as they possibly could, and they definitely did here. Obviously, it's a lot more, even more Logan-focused, I feel like, with him, like, obviously, you know, all the Weapon X stuff and history and that kind of stuff. And him kind of, you know, helping out the school when the school gets attacked. We actually get to see, like, Logan, like, wreck shot. You know, I guess he fights some extra people. There's no blood and guts, like there should be. But, you know, he definitely puts his claws through some military people. And that's fun to watch. I think just the scale of it is bigger. There's more mutants. There's different, you know. And they go to weird places, you know, like the big threat at the movie is William Stryker getting his son, who is a massive illusionist, to get Xavier to kill all mutants by thinking about them too hard, which is kind of, it's in itself a crazy concept, but they make it work so well. And like just the, you know, the little girl that he thinks is taking to Cerebro to go find the other mutants. It's so powerful and that kind of stuff. So, obviously, Nightcrawler, great addition. I think, you know, that might, if we had have just had that Nightcrawler scene, that might have been enough to just have make this a pretty good movie. But then, of course, you got everything else as well. And, you know, props to Alan Cummings to coming in every day and at the time doing 8+ hours of makeup and that kind of stuff. I just feel like the story around this is much more complex and very more in-depth and everything. You've got the Logan stuff, you've got Nightcrawler, then you've got Magneto when he's to jail cell being, you know, drugged, and then the awesome, you know, plan to get him to escape with a Mystique drug sticking a bunch of iron in a dude, which is still, like, an incredibly terrifying thought of this guy having all this iron ripped out of his body.
Godding, even just Ian McKellen's delivery in that moment of like of Magneto sensing the more iron in the security guard's bloodstream, and just everything plays out. I'm like, this is fucking awesome. Like, this is it's you feel tense, you feel on the edge of your seat for it, but it's like it's perfectly orchestrated by Magneto in that moment and perfectly controlled, and it's done so well.
Yeah, so very important lesson there, guys. If you know a very attractive woman comes up to you in a bar, it's probably to stick a bunch of stuff in your butt.
No, Ashley, nope, probably not. Probably not.
She wants to put a bunch of iron in you.
Never entertain sexy women, north, east, south, west. That's how you remember, everyone.
I like to remind myself not to eat shredded wheat, but you know.
Or never eat soggy wheat bix. But anyway, the easiest is never entertain sexy women. All right? And we all know that.
Key there. Yeah, I mean, I think they also do a good job of showcasing Xavier's powers here. And we talked a lot last week how he kind of came off like super, perfect. In this one, they're definitely showing shades of like murky history and issues in his past. He's definitely not the perfect figure, you know, from the first film with, you know, his history with Stryker's son and that kind of stuff. And him keeping secrets from Logan and wanting him to learn stuff for himself, you know. And also the opening shot of him in the just freezing all time constantly is very cool.
How does he do that?
I think he stops everybody's brain.
Yeah, he like makes their brains go, I'm gonna stand completely still and forget exactly what's happening right in this moment.
Like he presses the pause button on their mental thoughts. You know.
But they're still breathing, right?
Yeah.
Their eyes don't take in anything.
The question, my, with that, what's happening when he stops the presidential address at the end of the movie?
I think you're thinking too hard.
Does he pause and then they turn off the camera and they all run out, unpause, everybody runs outside, they turn the camera back on. So anybody who was watching at home, it just went blank for like 5 minutes.
There's a very awkward edit there where they're like, fuck's sake, how do we get everyone in and out of here? Like, oh, fucking
Nightcrawler when they jump back, they're all behind the bushes.
Yeah.
Just crawling on the right house floor.
Don't look up.
I mean, props to Brian Cox. I think, you know, as a human, you know, he proves to be a very sinister threat. Like, you know, a formidable opponent.
How's he compared in this compared to his?
Oh, he does. He's not swearing enough, you know.
All right, fair enough.
But he's, you know, he's bringing the same kind of energy.
Yeah.
And him getting his comeuppance at the end is sort of super satisfying. Yeah.
You will regret this, Wolverine.
Yeah. And then he gets doubled down when Magneto like straps him down to a piece of wall. Yeah. fucking dope.
fucking dope.
He fucking died. Big gob of water fucking destroyed his body. Fucking dickhead died. Dope.
I will say, I think Rogue is better in this movie.
I would say there's less Rogue in this film.
Which is a good thing, but she still fucking sucks.
Yeah, I just think she has got a little bit more direction in this and got a team of people to bounce off of and kind of a clear direction in this movie rather than just being a passenger.
Yeah, no, she's much better in this film. But I think it's also, we see less of her, so.
She still fucking sucks.
That's the most annoying.
I will say, we see less of her, but I feel like we see more Cyclops, and Cyclops sucks more.
I feel like we see more Bobby.
Yes. Yes.
And Bobby also sucks.
He also
what? Sucks. No. He's good.
Yeah, I think Bobby sucks. Now, I like Sean Ashmore. Nothing against Sean Ashmore.
Or Ashley.
He's very good in a video game called Alan Wake. But the...
was he in Alan Wake?
He's in Alan Wake too.
Oh, is he, I thought it was just in the
character from whatever.
He's in Quantum Break also.
Quantum Breaking.
Is he the same character in Alan Wake? This is
I mean, people have fan theories, but I mean,
okay, fair enough.
Anyway, I don't like Bobby. He's just a little, he's a little bitch.
What, because he didn't beat up his brother when he called the police?
Yeah, he should have. Fucking ice that.
You think Pyro was in the right there? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, Pyro was right.
Setting all these police cars on fire. Well, I mean, that's hashtag at the Pyro time. Was you right. know.
Parents upstairs holding their son like, you did the right thing.
Yeah. Ooh. But yeah, I enjoyed Bobby. I think is I want to say cool, but I feel like it's on the nose.
You should have likable enough. You pointed know? It out and you didn't double down. Shows you how fucking lame Bobby is.
You know he'd
is right. He's cool.
Who?
Not Black Panther because he never frees.
He's not even.
It's not even this franchise.
Not even this franchise. What are you talking about? I was trying to think of the character's name. I can't remember. The fucking... Wow, with my fingernails lady.
Oh, Lady Deathstrike?
Sorry.
Okay, Lady Deathstrike.
Sorry. Wow, with my fingernails lady. That's a fucking... Jesus.
Yeah, nah,
she's I mean, cool. Yeah. She's all right. You know, when she was here the first time, she's just cracking every single bone in her body.
Yeah, I love it. Ryan's like, I do that all day. I can have arthritis or something bad. Or I can do this. Who knows? Who's to say?
Yeah, though she massive is, fingernails.
She does have
yeah.
like a sucky version of Wolverine's abilities. Like the fingernails are just... I just look at it and go... The same
My
with Wolverine.
How does the antimanium come out?
Sorry, do you want to go again on that? Antimantium? Antimantium.
Antimantium.
How does it come out of a... Yeah.
Same way it comes out of Wolverine. What the fuck do you mean?
He has claws that come out. She just grows her fingernails really long.
Yeah, but her fingernails just grow
from
like
underneath.
That.
From underneath, I take it right.
But like even then, and I even think this about Wolverine, right? That like for Wolverine, it'd be really fucking awkward to fight with those claws. The same with it'd be really fucking awkward to fight with fingernails. Like, Have you never
I mean, if you practice.
But you have to slash or, like, punch, right? Like, you have to slash or stab. You can't, like,
hit them with the side.
Yeah.
This makes more sense to me than this.
This also, they both suck. They both are both,
so
like,
glad
the
this
fighting
is the video
sucks.
Podcast. I think if I picture myself with Wolverine claws, I think with practice I could get that. You just need
the regeneration in case you keep slashing yourself.
Like you would learn, like you would get that feeling of just knowing it like an extra limb, you know?
You would, but I'm just, I don't know. I think it's awkward the way around with it.
If you had to pick, though,
also because I think because of what. Like they could do with this time period and whatever. I think the way they make the claws in the movies always looks just that tad bit too chunky and like almost plastic a lot of the time. That
it gets better, I think, as the film.
I mean, yeah, it's better than like, the CGI like the... ones in Wolverine Origins.
Yes, it is, but it's not like I don't know, like the comic
I
book
think
ones
Hugh
or like
Jackman
the...
should have gone method, but.
Should have gone method and got them installed.
Yeah, so he should have gone and had surgery and Hugh Jackman gets claws in his arms.
Got them installed, like, with just with little pistons so they, like, mm-hmm. shove out of your hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a weak cunt. I mean, no. Anyway, moving on.
Anyway.
You could host the show.
I can't remember what I was talking about, but whatever.
You were just talking about how Wolverine is a weak piece of shit. But no.
Yeah,
I mean, all the Weapon X stuff, really cool, like, you know, at the time. This facility, underground. Yeah, all the history and that kind of stuff, I think, you know. I feel like, you know, I will say Lady Deathstrike's death is really cool. Like, that's terrifying. Just getting filled up with that adamantium.
Sorry. Did I say correctly that? Why did you pause for so long after saying
just want to make sure.
Just getting filled up? You paused for so long. What did it?
Certainly wasn't for. Certainly wasn't for comedic.
In slow motion, I was looking at Kieran's like eyes, just like.
Charlie, what did her in? Oh, she got fucking filled up on Friday night, didn't she? Fucking just got a spotter filled up with adamantium. Is that what we call it in it now, Charlie? All right. It's because it's rock fucking hard.
Oh yeah, Karen. So who's the mutant of the movie?
I think I have to go with Logan slash Wolverine in this movie because I think Hugh Jackman embodies the part a lot more. We explore more of his character, and the mansion scenes are really fucking cool.
All right. Dylan, who's the mutant in the movie?
Nightcrawler. I think he has the best story, has the best introductions to the movie. He's really cool throughout it. He's really likable because you feel sorry for him. And, yeah. I don't know.
It's true. There, yeah. He saves the console.
He's a one and done, too. Shows up one movie, does it really well, really interesting stuff, fucks off.
He gets replaced by Angel in this series of films. Movie. That doesn't go well.
Hmm.
It's because Alan Cummings didn't want to get all the blue paint all over again.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go Nightcrawler as well. You know, he's got that opening set piece, which I'm sure we're about to talk about again. You know, he saves Rogue. He's able to jump into Cerebro, which he shouldn't have been able to do. Nearly freezes to death. Yeah, the movie doesn't work without Nightcrawler, so mutant of the movie for me. Dylan. What's the most marvelous moment of the movie?
Yeah, the opening of the movie.
Short and sweet. Kieran, what's the most marvelous moment of the movie?
Has to be the Logan mansion fight scene for me. For whatever reason, I have the soundbite of Wolverine jumping off the balcony onto those last few at the end of it seared into my brain. Like his like cry or his growl or whatever you want to call it. Like I could just remember that. Even when I don't remember much of this movie going into it, I was like, I know that soundbite's in it somewhere, and it fucking was. It was in it. And we get to see Colossus actually being really cool. So, yeah, Wolverine's mansion scene.
Yeah, lots of little cool moments for the different students. Like, you've got Kitty Pryde run through walls, or Banshee screaming at the top of her lungs, or the kid who can't, who's wanting to change channels.
Do you know when I was a kid, you know, like, the main army guy you see, not Stryker, but, like, the main random army NPC that has the face paint on? When I was a kid, I thought he was a mute because he had weird
skin. That was his mutant ability. He could change the paint. I didn't realize that was face paint. You had to wash it off every time.
He could change the paint on his face. It was. I thought he was the Toad from the first movie.
So did I, actually.
You did as well?
I'm not even joking. I thought he was the Toad.
I thought he was the Toad from the first movie. Not that he was just some random army person in face paint.
He looks like fucking Ray Park.
Yeah, and you look at him and you go, well, anyway, I'm old enough now to look at him and go, okay, that's face paint. Why the fuck did you select that face paint for this mansion? But why is this camo in this environment? Like,
it's always camo.
Maybe in the outside. Yeah, I don't know.
He's always camouflage.
It's not like he's John Cena or anything. We could definitely see him.
All right. My most marvelous moment is probably the prison escape. Magneto wrecking shop with those two iron balls that he rips out of the dude. Yeah, just wrecking shop, making this plastic prison feel like it's made out of tissue paper. And then flying across, so cool. How do we feel about the ending of the movie?
Can I say what's the most... Can I... just for Jean Grey, and I was going to just call her having the most unmarvelous movie, because even if she's trying to hold herself back because she loves Scott, how the fuck does Jean Grey have a hard time fighting fucking Cyclops? Like, you just don't. Like, it's just, you just,
I mean, we'd already established that her powers were, on the fritz. You know, she wasn't able to take out those missiles. She was having a trouble at the library.
Yeah, sure. Sure, okay. Yeah, but she
didn't. We'll say another marvelous moment is the plane crash. The plane's going down, and it strikes Magneto in the middle of a random field. How fucking lucky is that? In all the places it could have crashed, it was on Magneto's head.
It's not lucky. He drags it out of the sky.
He dragged it down.
What are you talking about?
It needed to be reasonably close.
They didn't land in front of him. No, fucking...
It needed to be in line of sight. I mean, he had to be in like a 50-kilometer radius or something.
How many times have you watched this movie and you've never realized...
You just thought that plane accidentally crashed and Magneto just happened to be there? You did at no point.
You guys suck.
What do you mean we suck?
I will say Cyclops gets sidelined again in this movie. Does not have
sucks.
A good time.
He doesn't get any. He just does it in general. Cyclops sucks.
All right. How do we feel about the ending of the movie? Jean Grey sacrifices herself to save everybody.
It's just a bit of water, eh? Like...
Oh, I could take it.
Surely...
Just have a bit of a drink.
No, but like... It's the fucking X-Wing. Like, the X-Wing's fast as shit. Like, why... How the fuck... Like, I don't understand how she needs to sacrifice herself. Like... It just feels like it could have been a lot bigger for her to sacrifice herself to mean more to build into the Dark Phoenix thing. And it's like, yeah, good thing they're not going to shit the bed with Dark Phoenix, not once but twice in movies. Oh, wait, they do.
I think that... The problem is that they give them a normal jet. There's nothing special about their jet. So that's half the problem. You know, the X-Men, the X-Jet is just...
It's the X-Wing, thank you very much.
No, that's a Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
No.
But the X-Men jet...
Blackbird?
That's something like
pretty
that.
Pretty
sure. Yeah.
It has no specialty in this film. So the... Like, they're stuck. They can't outrun missiles. But I do think getting blown up over a dam is pretty fucking boring as far as...
Was the dam blown up? It was, like, because the dam's way far away from their base, right?
But the base was built under the dam, right? The base was built under
the
base,
and then it... Yeah, and then it... Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's whatever. She sacrifices herself. It's literally they just want to set up a third film because after the success of the first one, they thought they were going to make it more.
Yeah, they just wanted to set up Dark Phoenix, and they thought to get Dark Phoenix, we have to kill Jean Grey off somehow.
She has to disappear.
Which,
yeah.
I'll say, the biggest bullshit in all these films is, I think, actually the romance or non-romance between Logan and Jean. The most forced, nonsensical. No chemistry.
But they make it out in this one.
And I don't care. It's nothing. And then they do it in this, and it leads through to the third film where it's even more bullshit. But yeah, it's the most forced, no chemistry romance, I think, in any comic book movie.
Well, like, it's like, you know, in the first movie, Logan just strangled her a bit. Sure, you know. Like,
she was into
it. Like,
Fifty Shades of Adamantium.
She's Jean Grey at the end of this movie, wishing she was the one that got filled up.
Yeah.
But yeah.
She did. With water.
Whoa. Damn.
Too soon.
Yeah. Way to kill the vibe. Way to kill the vibe there, Ashley.
Hydrobot was working overtime. Anyway.
All right. Any other thoughts on X-Men 2?
Nah.
No.
All right.
I think so.
Let us know what you thought of X-Men 2 by going to explosion.com/Twitter or jump to Discord at explosion.com/Discord. If you want to help us out here at All New Marvelcast, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. Leave us 5 stars, then you can leave 5 stars. Or just tell people about the show. And if you've enjoyed this episode, thought it was worth a dollar, head on over to our Ko-fi page at explosion.com/support. Thank you very much for listening. Be sure to watch X-Men The Last Stand. And join us next time for another All New Marvelcast.